Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Continue our sermon series on prayer for renewal, a study of Matthew 6. We turn to the Lord's Prayer once again and turn to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. We'll read the entire Lord's Prayer, but focus on Hallowed be thy name. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Let us listen closely, for this is how our Lord taught us to pray. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The end of the reading of God's word. Let's pause for a quick prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would quicken us. That is the kind of quick prayer we need, to be quickened, to be enlivened and made alive in the knowledge of Christ and have wills renewed. And so we pray through the practice, the spiritual disciplines of daily prayer, private and corporate, family and with your church and alone, that you would bless the prayers of your people and that you would answer and refresh us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, and let us say, amen. Well, my question for you is, do you know what your name means? You ever gone into like a bookstore and buy a bookmarker or a little plaque, and it says what's your name in either Greek or Latin, the derivatives, what it means? Do you know what your name means? I know what my name means. Stephen means crowned one. Crowned one. Now, in the Bible, names are very important. They were not simply labels by which you were called. They revealed something about your nature. Now, nowadays, it's not quite the same when we name people. We don't value necessarily the meaning of a name in our culture so much as we value the sound that name makes, the cadence of the name, the rhythm of the name, the melody of the name. And so when naming our children, we often ask the question, how does that sound? How does that sound? But the ancient people of God actually valued the meaning of names. They felt a name would describe you and your character. Thus, the name Adam means man, because he was the first. The name Eve means life, because she was the mother of all living. Names were statements of truth in the scriptures. Names, thus, were sometimes changed. For example, God chose Abram from the land of Ur out of the Chaldeans and brought him into the promised land, and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham because he would be the father of many. God wrestled with Jacob, and after that wrestling match all night long, he renamed him Israel, for he would be a prince of God. And so we come to the topic of a name today, and in the first petition, this is the first petition, our Father who art in heaven, first petition number one, hallowed be thy name. Jesus, in this petition about which we should pray, talks about honoring God's name, honoring God's name. Well, in the Bible, God reveals himself by many names, lots and lots of names. In fact, theologians like to call God polyonymous, many-named one. One preacher in his commentary actually went through the Bible and he counted 256 names for God in the entire Bible, and that's a lot. And here, Jesus reveals one more name in this very chapter, and that is the name Father, the name Father. All right, so why so many names for God in the Bible? Well, let's ask this question. What do you do if you meet a person with many names and titles? What do you think about them? Let's say you meet someone and he says, "My name is Dr. Charles Emerson Winchester III." Any of you MASH fans out there maybe recognize that actual name, right? And that name was supposed to tell you a little bit about this waspy character in MASH. Yeah, he's from quite an aristocratic background, quite a wealthy background, an important background. So then it comes to, if that person is so impressive, what are you supposed to call a person who is more than aristocracy and upper class, but a person who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable? How many names and titles would you expect him to have? Many, many. So God is a many-sided being who requires many names to describe himself and all of his attributes. He names himself in many ways in the Bible. He calls himself Elohim, which means he is Almighty Creator. He reveals himself as Jehovah, which means that he is great and the uncreated I Am. He calls himself Adonai, which means ruler and master. He calls himself Jehovah Jireh, meaning our provider. And tonight we read that special New Testament name, that unique name that Jesus championed, called our Father. Now, it took several thousand years for us to earn that knowledge and right to call God Father. He didn't reveal that name initially in the Bible. It would have been pretty overwhelming if God revealed every single name he possessed in the very first chapter of meeting his creatures. And so he did so gradually. He didn't want to overwhelm us. But that shouldn't shock us, because that's how we do it in our daily relationships. When people first meet me, sometimes they'll call me Mr. Igo or Pastor Igo or Reverend Igo or various things, until finally they get to know me and they may call me by a different name. You go with me to West Virginia, you'll find out what my name down there is from the old timers, and that name is Stevie. All right, nobody here calls me Stevie. I mean, you might slip every now and then, but I know where people are from when they call out, "Hey, Stevie." In seminary, my nickname was Erkomai. That's a nerdy Greek name. You know, when you're in seminary, hang out with nerds all the time. It's Greek for I go. So Erkomai, if anybody calls me Erkomai, I know they're from seminary. I'm not going to tell you my college names, because you might start calling me them, so that's a jump. But I can tell you that when I was in trouble, my dad called me Stephen. And so on. Well, here, as we go back to God and his many names, when we go to God and we say in our prayers, private and public, and we say, "Hallowed be thy name," we are praying that gradually, over time, God's many names, God's countless deeds, God's entire character that those names reveal would spread. And would spread and be made known and respected around the world, as well as in our hearts. That's what we're praying. More of you, God. More of you. That word hallowed is an unusual name, phrase, isn't it? Hallowed be thy name. We don't use it so much, but it's literally, it means sanctify your name, Lord, or treat as holy. May your name be treated as holy. May your name be held in proper esteem. We want the whole world to know the greatness, power, and holiness of God. That God is holy. He's different than us. He is powerful. He's pure. We want all people to know him as he really is. How does that happen? Well, a few weeks ago, I went to visit Washington, D.C. for just a couple days after visiting Mom and Dad. And there we visited the National Mall. And kids, that's not a place you shop. That's a place where there's lots of marble and grass and marble. and it's very august. We went to a memorial called the Lincoln Memorial, and many people there stand at the feet of this giant statue with a man with a beard in this sitting on the statue, and they just stood there with awe and respect. Why do they do that? Well, there's a good reason that many of them stood there. Why they studied American history, right? They learned about a man. This man who is a president, an emancipator, a preserver of the Union. Now, his name by itself doesn't mean a whole lot. Abraham Lincoln. By itself, it doesn't mean much unless you know history. Then that name becomes profoundly deep to you. So it is with the living God. We want people to honor and respect his name as they learn about him and acknowledge him and esteem him. And that is the goal for which we pray, hallowed be thy name. So let's look at several things we're going to pray for tonight and in the coming days in your private and corporate prayer time when we say, hallowed be thy name. When we say that phrase, we are praying for a number of things, and I'm going to list them in order. Firstly, when you and I pray that phrase, hallowed be thy name, we are praying that people would see the glory of God in creation and praise him. Psalm 19, verse 1 teaches that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Christians should regularly pray that people see the glory of God in the creation around them. That's why I think it's great to pray for sunny days, right? I would hope today people in West Michigan are feeling something glorious, right? Something amazing, something that is hard to explain, and they would wonder. That's why it's great to pray over the tasty food we're about to eat, because as people eat that food, hopefully they go, that was great, and wonder. We pray for healthy children. We pray for safe travel. We pray for beautiful scenery. We pray for clean air. We pray for healthy people and more. Christians should pray for these things because we want the glory of God to shine through nature, shine through the creation. Dear church, let's not become so super spiritual that we forget to pray about these created things. I have found nature to be a very effective means to reveal many of the qualities of God to a watching world. That is one thing for which we should pray. May God's glory be seen in the creation. Hallowed thy name. Number two, as we're praying, hallowed be thy name, and we pray for the glory of God to shine in the creation, the second thing we pray for in the hallowing of his name is that we pray people would see the glory of God as he organizes things in providence. As he organizes the world in providence, that people would go, wow, there's somebody up there doing some amazing things. You know, dear church, God is dishonored when we Christians live a life rooted in fear, as if God had lost control of the world. God is dishonored when we live in unbelief, as if his word and his promises cannot be trusted. The Bible says God has promised to work all things together for good to those who are called of God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Theologians call that providence. And so you and I need to pray, first for our own hearts, that we have a thankful heart for providence. That God would help us to rejoice in his providence. Even when it's not what we planned, even when it's not what we expected, maybe even not when it's what we would choose. We're to pray that when his providence crosses our will, that God would help us to rejoice in his decision. For when we point out God's good hand of providence, his name is honored, his name is praised. May God's glory be seen in providence. Hallowed be thy name. Thirdly, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, not only for glory to shine in creation, not only for glory to shine in his ordering of providence. Thirdly, when we pray that people would see glory as God saves people. And people would go, wow, what a mighty God they serve. I find it amazing that we cannot and do not save ourselves. I find it amazing how God satisfies his divine justice and mercy by sending Jesus to the cross. How amazing that Jesus left the glory of heaven to suffer for our sins. How amazing that God renews hearts, moves people to believe, and keeps us from falling away as he's promised to do. Salvation of the Lord from the beginning to the end. And if God's name is to be praised and his message preached and believed and enjoyed, we've got to pray that his name is hallowed as lots of people get saved and are changed. That's what we pray for in Hallowed Be Thy Name. So can you see it? You got some great things to pray for as you work through that first petition. Praying things that like souls to be saved. Praying things like rain to fall in times of drought. Praying for things like people to see marriage and children as a gift of God. For pollution to end, all to the glory of God. Hallowed be thy name. You can drive a truck through that petition and never run out of things to say for God's name to be hallowed. Now, there's a second thing we need to consider as we've gone through these three things for which we pray, a second category of petitions that we pray for here, and it's very interesting that we also pray for certain things not to happen when we pray, hallowed be thy name, certain things not to happen against the glory of God. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul visited Athens? He did that in Acts 17, verse 16. And that verse tells us that Paul was provoked within him when he beheld the city full of idols. Now, that word provoked has a whole range of meanings. I've written them down. Enraged, irritated, grieved, exasperated. I'm going to drink some water. So in Acts 17, you have Paul walking around the most famous city in the world, Athens. Athens. Some of us are saving money to go fly there on a second honeymoon, right? Athens. Okay, this is, some of us are you going to Athens? You're going to Athens. They have saved and have spent. And maybe 30 days after they will spend, you know, whatever that is, okay? Here we have some Athens visitors, front row, my left, your right. Now, Paul goes to the same city that our lovebirds are going to later this week. And, you know, there's a reason they're going. There's a reason that I would like to go. It's a famous city in the world. It's the home of arts and letters and Western civilization. It's the birthplace of Socrates and Plato. It's the cradle of democracy. It's the site of the Parthenon. But Paul goes to Athens, and he's thinking this phrase, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. And Paul is so different than I would be. I would walk around just awed and amazed. I'm in Athens. Somebody pinch me. But Paul was not overwhelmed by their advanced culture. Paul was not dazzled by the big city amenities. He went to that city and sort of ruined his vacation by being deeply troubled everywhere he went. You wouldn't want him to be, you know, the tour guide of the people you bring to Athens spending money to go to the city because he was provoked. He was troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere. He was enraged. He was exasperated by their atheism, their ignorance, their polytheism, their idolatry, their profanity, all these things that hindered the honor of God's name. And so when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying that that we would be like the Apostle Paul, that we would be upset by such ignorance of God, that we would be upset by idolatry and wickedness and evil in even great metropolitan centers. I have found over my years that we are so easily people like Lot. You know what I mean? I mean, we go to this great city. We live peacefully in cities named Sodom and Gomorrah, and we just make truce with the world. We become complacent because immorality is just everywhere. And you say, oh, well, America's always going to be that way. Why do I speak up? What can I do? It ain't ever going to change. Might as well enjoy the amenities of living in modern America while I'm here. Hey, you know. Before you know it, we've made truce with the world. We're complacent. We've grown complacent about the honor of God in our nation, whether our national capital or the commerce capital, New York City, or the intellectual capital of Boston, or a historical capital like Philadelphia, or our state capital like Lansing, or our nearby city, Grand Rapids, or here in Hudsonville. We can become complacent. Don't let that happen to you. Pray that it happens not. Romans 12, verse 9 says to God's people, abhor what is evil. So by praying, hallowed be thy name, we're praying, Lord, help me to hate evil and to love what is good. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 says, be jealous with a godly jealousy. We're praying, Lord, that I would be jealous for your name and your good kingdom and your goodwill. Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4 says we should grieve when our countrymen are lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Pray. We should pray, God's people, when our Lord is mocked on Wall Street, when he is ignored on Main Street, when he is profaned in our media, when he is trodden in our city streets, ignored in our schools and hospitals. You and I must cry out, hallowed be thy name. And that means that we would not flirt with sin, that we would hate it, that we would not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoice in the truth, 1 Corinthians 13:6. That zeal for our Father's house would consume us as it did Jesus, Psalm 69, verse 9. All of that when we pray, hallowed be thy name. Because I don't know about you, God's people, but I'm constantly slipping. I'm constantly struggling with compromise. I am constantly giving into the world, into the flesh, into the devil, just saying, oh, why bother? There's nothing I can do about it. We pray that God gets the glory. That means certain things not happening in our world. Now, I believe one actual symptom of compromise with the world and knowing how we're doing and praying this hallowed be thy name is how you and I use God's name on a daily basis. How do you hallow his name? Are you careful with God's name when you use it, or are you careless? You know, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, along with the third commandment, forbids us from using God's name in a frivolous and empty way, using God's name for our advantage, using God's name to make our point, using God's name to manipulate others to do our will. Are we praying we would wield the beautiful name of God for his glory and not my own? I'm afraid many of us have become careless in how we use God's name. Many of us slipping into cursing and swearing, saying the names of God and Jesus in very profane ways, or using the name of God to advance our cause, demanding that God's cause is our cause, using his name to bully and manipulate people, not for the kingdom of God, but for our pleasure. Oh, these are difficult days. So many speak up saying, Lord, Lord, but do not know him. So many using his name so profanely to make our own point and look convincing to our neighbors. How do we use his name? But dear church, this command goes beyond swearing, just saying his name. It also is positively asking us, how are we honoring his name in worship? You see, when we gather together and we use his name in public worship, as we pray, hallowed be thy name, that means we are praying for our worship to be robust. We're praying when we say, hallowed be thy name, that we would sing his name better in church.
When we say hallowed be his name, that we would listen to his name in the Bible and in the sermon better, that we would come to church and worship his name with our whole heart, and that we would be diligent in family worship, public worship, during the Lord's Supper to receive the sacraments which bear his name with sincerity, and praying his name sincerely during the hour of prayer. Oh, that's the beautiful things for which we pray when we say hallowed be thy name. Let me close with this point. Who is up to such things? Who is up to such things? You know the culture in which we live. You know the profane manner God's name is used and manipulated, and how we get washed away in all of that excitement. We know how difficult it is. I would dare say that only the holy angels and the saints in heaven can really experience what this prayer petitions. But dear church, isn't that why Jesus tells us to pray this petition? Because it's so needed. It's so hard. None of us have mastered it. He tells us to pray this petition first off because we need it most. And we need the blood of Jesus, which gives us grounds to call him the Our Father, to cleanse us, and the Holy Spirit to empower us. Because giving yourself to the glory of God's name is no joyride. It will become a joy road as you pursue it with all your heart, but it's hard. After all, we should not get hung up on the pagan idea that God's will is always unpleasant and we must be a martyr to do it. No, there is joy in his name being honored by our lips and by our actions. Thus, we pray for it, praying for duty and delight to merge. So, dear church, let's pray for glory. For you and I and our family and church and community to taste the glory of his name as we look at the nighttime sky tonight as the sun sets, as we see a plan unfolding in our various lives and we see the signature of God, as we hear of people growing in faith or beginning in faith or concluding life's journey in faith, that God's name is being hallowed, as evil is being downtrodden and glory is rising. For this we pray, hallowed be thy name. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we desire that glory, that Shekinah glory cloud of the old covenant, and now in our presence in Jesus Christ, to fill your church. May your glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. We pray, O Lord, that it would come as your people praise, hallowed be thy name. Lord, forgive us for our careless usage of God's name and his attributes and his will and ways. Humble us to handle the sacred, precious name of God with care. To remember he is God and we are not. He is worthy of having a hallowed name. Thank you, O Lord. Energize our prayers in the coming days. We pray in Christ's name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.